What if I told you that one of the most dangerous things you can do in an airplane doesn't feel dangerous while you're doing it? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about crossed control stalls, not the textbook version you practice at altitude with your instructor walking you through it step by step, the real version, the one that happens on base to final, the one that has taken pilots from us for as long as airplanes have been landing on runways. If you've been flying for a while, you've had the close call or you know someone who has. And if you're early in training, this is exactly the kind of thing I want in your head before you get into the pattern by yourself for the first time. Before we get into it, quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. A great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's talk about what actually happens. You're in the pattern, it's a normal day. You've been flying for maybe 100 hours, maybe less. You're flying a Cessna 172 or something similar. You make your base turn, you're looking for the runway, and you realize you've drifted a little wide. The threshold is off to your left. You're going to overshoot final if you don't tighten up the turn. Here's something I wish someone had drilled into me early on. This moment right here, this is the moment that matters. What your hands and feet do in the next 3 seconds determines whether you fly this airplane to the ground or whether the airplane flies itself into the ground. The instinct is to add more bank, roll into a steeper turn, get the nose pointed at the runway, and simultaneously, because you know you're low and slow and a steep turn feels wrong, part of your brain hits the brakes. You don't want to steepen the bank any further, so you add top rudder, opposite rudder, rudder to the right while the airplane is turning left. This is called crossed controls, and what you've just done is set up one of the most insidious stall scenarios in all of general aviation. Let me explain what's happening aerodynamically, and I'll keep this practical. When you bank the airplane into a left turn, the left wing is the low wing, and the right wing is the high wing. In a normal coordinated turn, the outer wing, the right wing, is moving faster through the air than the inner wing because it's traveling a longer arc. The faster wing makes more lift. You compensate with aileron, you keep the ball centered, and everything stays coordinated. Now add right rudder to that left turn. What does right rudder do? It yaws the nose to the right, which means the left wing, the low wing, is now moving even slower relative to the air than before, and the right wing is moving even faster. You have just created a significant difference in airspeed between your two wings. And when one wing gets slow enough, it stalls before the other one. Which wing stalls first? The slow wing, the low wing, the left wing. When that left wing stalls, it drops, the airplane rolls left, hard, the nose pitches down, and you are now in a spin entry 200 feet above the runway threshold. The problem isn't just what happens physically, the problem is what happens in the cockpit mentally. You expected the airplane to turn right. You put in right rudder. When the airplane rolls hard left instead, the brain doesn't process it as a stall. The brain processes it as the airplane doing something wrong, something that has never happened before, and the instinct, the deeply wired human instinct, is to pull back. Pulling back in a stall is exactly the wrong thing to do. There is not enough altitude to recover from a stall spin entry at 200 feet above the ground. That is the arithmetic of the situation, and I want you to understand it clearly, not because I want to scare you, because that arithmetic is why the go-around exists. Let's talk about why this stall feels so different from what you've practiced. In training, stalls happen like this. Altitude. Power off or power on. Wings level or nearly level, you pull back. The airplane buffets. The stall horn screams at you. The nose breaks. You recover. You climb away. That's a cooperative, coordinated stall. The airplane tells you everything. You have altitude. You have time. A crossed control stall on base to final gives you none of that. The stall warning may not even sound before the wing breaks. The buffet may not precede the roll, and because the airplane is already in a bank, the roll that happens when the wing stalls doesn't look like a stall recovery problem. It looks like the airplane just decided to do something. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, covers stall recognition and recovery. It covers spin awareness. Your examiner on your private pilot check ride is going to expect you to demonstrate that you understand how stalls develop and how spins are entered. But I'll be honest with you, most student pilots practice enough coordinated stalls to pass the practical test, and they never truly internalize what a cross-control stall feels like. The ACS requirement for spin awareness is not just about knowing the recovery procedure, it's about understanding how you get into a spin in the first place. And the most common path into an unintentional spin is the cross-control stall on base to final. The Federal Aviation Administration published advisory, Circular 61-67 on stall and spin awareness. It lays out exactly this scenario, the overshoot, the tightening turn, the opposite rudder, the departure, worth reading. It's free at FAA.gov. Let me walk through the recognition cues because if you know what to look for, you have a chance to stop this before it gets started. First cue, you've overshot final, you realize you need to tighten the turn. This is not an emergency yet. This is just information. Take it seriously. Second cue, you're tempted to add bank beyond about 30 degrees while low and slow in the pattern. This is where the warning light should come on. Third cue, you're adding rudder opposite to the bank to slow the turn rate. If you notice your ball is not centered, if you're in a skid or a slip, and you're low in the pattern, that is an emergency, not a developing situation. An emergency. At any of those three cues, the answer is the same. Full power, positive climb attitude. Go around. The runway will be there when you come around again. I have never heard of a runway that moved. Now let's talk about what you can do in training to protect yourself. The single most valuable thing you can do is practice cross-control stalls at altitude with your instructor. Not described, not watched on a video, actually flown. Here's how it typically goes. You're at altitude, 3,000 or 4,000 feet above the ground. Your instructor has you slow to approach speed. You enter a medium bank turn, then you deliberately apply opposite rudder. You feel the controls get heavy and strange, and then you feel the wings start to go. The first time most students experience this, they are surprised by how fast it happens and by the direction it goes. The stall break in a cross-control configuration does not feel like the stalls you've done before. It can be abrupt. It can involve a very fast roll in the direction you did not expect. If your instructor has not specifically demonstrated a cross-control stall to you, ask for it. That is a completely reasonable request. Tell them you want to understand what a departure from controlled flight actually feels like in a realistic scenario. Any good instructor will applaud you for asking. Recovery at altitude is straightforward once you know it. Relax the back pressure, level the wings. Get coordinated. Apply power, climb away. The key phrase is relax the back pressure, not add more. Pulling back during a stall spin departure is the instinct you have to fight and overwrite. But I want to be honest with you, recovery at 200 feet above the runway threshold on base to final is not a guaranteed thing. Even if you do everything right immediately, the numbers may not work in your favor. This is not a recovery scenario. This is a prevention scenario. The prevention is this. If you overshoot the base to final turn, you go around full stop. Not maybe. Not if it looks really bad. Every time, if you have to steepen your bank beyond 30 degrees to make the turn, you go around. If you find yourself adding opposite rudder to slow the turn rate in the pattern, you go around. If there is any doubt at all about whether you're going to make a stable, normal approach, you go around. I want to say one more thing about the go-around because there's a psychological barrier that gets pilots in trouble. Students and early pilots sometimes feel like a go-around is a failure. Like the instructor is going to be disappointed. Like the people watching from the ramp are going to think they can't fly. I understand that feeling. I had it too. But here's what experienced pilots know. The go-around is not a failure. The go-around is one of the most important skills in your toolkit. It is the decision that keeps you alive when the approach goes wrong and approaches go wrong. Wind shifts, a gust, a late runway change, an unstabilized descent. These things happen to everyone. What separates the pilot who keeps flying from the pilot who doesn't is the willingness to go around without hesitation. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The go-around is a maneuver. Practice it, brief it on every approach. Before you even start your descent, say to yourself, if I'm not stabilized by this point, I am going around. Make it a decision you've already made, not a decision you're trying to make under pressure with the ground coming up. The ACS also requires you to demonstrate the go-around on your check ride, and it's not just procedural. The examiner is looking for you to recognize the need, execute promptly, and do it without hesitation. That's the standard because that's what keeps people alive. Let's bring this back to stick and rudder fundamentals for a minute, because that's really what this is about. The base to final trap is a stick and rudder problem at its core. Your feet are not coordinating with your hands. Your rudder is working against your aileron, and the underlying reason is that you're chasing the runway instead of flying the approach. When you fly the approach, you fly the pattern. A consistent base leg at a consistent power setting and airspeed. You make the turn to final at a point that gives you a reasonable intercept angle. If you're wide, you widen the base or extend the downwind. You plan ahead rather than react. Stick and rudder coordination is the foundation. ball in the center every turn, every moment. When you're coordinated, you can't accidentally cross your controls without noticing it. The ball will tell you. Trust the ball. Early in training, a lot of students get comfortable in cruise. They take their feet off the pedals. They let the ball wander a few beads without correcting. That's fine at cruise altitude in calm air. But that same passiveness in the pattern at low altitude and low airspeed is a completely different situation. Use your feet. Every flight. Make coordinated flight a habit so deep that anything else feels immediately wrong. One more practical note. The landing pattern is not the place to fixate on the runway. New pilots tend to stare at the threshold once they turn base. The eyes lock on, the head stops moving. And when you fixate on the runway, you lose the scan that tells you what the airplane is actually doing. Keep your scan going. Airspeed. Attitude. Configuration. Ball. Then look at the runway. The approach picture will tell you whether you're going to make it or not, and you need to know what a normal approach looks like from the seat of your airplane before you start relying on that picture. If you're training in a Cessna 172, get to know what the runway looks like in your windscreen on a normal 3-degree glide path. That picture should look the same every time. If the runway is climbing in the windscreen, you're going low. If it's sinking, you're high. The picture doesn't lie. And if the picture ever looks like you're not going to make it onto a stable final, trust the picture, go around. The National Transportation Safety Board report after a base-to-final accident often reads something like this. The pilot attempted to recover from an overshoot. The aircraft entered an aerodynamic stall at low altitude. The pilot had sufficient experience to fly solo. The pilot did not recognize the onset of a cross-control departure. That's not an indictment of those pilots. That's a reminder that this scenario can fool anyone who hasn't been specifically trained to recognize it. Practice cross-control stalls at altitude with your instructor. Discuss the go-around decision before every flight. Commit to the go-around without hesitation. Use your feet. Keep the ball centered. The runway will always be there when you come around again. That's the kind of flying that keeps the flight log growing. The FAA's Advisory Circular 61-67 and the Airman Certification Standards are both free at faa.gov, more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. See you next time.